You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Charles Two Dog of the Salagi in Kentucky, which is known as Kentuck. So actually this is one of the things that I've always been interested in, is the names of American states and nations are derived from the original Indian words. So would you like to talk a little bit about the place where you come from and the words that you use to describe it and the words that we're using to describe it or that have been assigned to you? Welcome to Journeys, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, JP. I'm very honored to be here this morning.
Me too.
And I live in Kentuck. It's now they took Kentucky, but Kentuck, I live on dark and bloody ground. And if I lived in Tennessee, I would be living in Tanasi. That's another Salagi word for Tennessee.
What does that mean?
Actually, I have no idea. I don't live in Tennessee, really. I don't know. But I live in Kentuck. I live on dark and bloody ground. I'm the chief of the indigenous nation here in Kentucky. I have Yankton, Shawandasi, as far as Shawnee, Salagi people, Blackfeet, Seneca. It's pretty much an intertribal tribe what I have.
And this is a community that you live in, or is it a group of communities? How's it work physically, you know, on the ground?
Well, right now, since the war we had with Logan County, Kentucky, about 8 years ago, I have people in Florida, Tennessee, and Kentucky. We're kind of separated out right now. But we're still tight and unified and together. I have three clans in my band. The Bear clan is up in around Dixon, Tennessee. The Hawk clan is in Portland, Tennessee. And we are the Horse clan here in Kentucky. So we had a little bit of a war about 8, 9 years ago over burial ground and other things. And I live here where I'm at now. We got moved. We had to move out quickly and kind of run. I don't like running, but we ran.
So this is and you were is this with the white men or with another tribe?
It was with Onaga, which is a Salagi word for the white man. Yeah,
Onaga. Mm-hmm. So, so, you know, you've found a new home, settled, and he settled on dark and bloody ground. So that's great.
But I always lived here. Right. My ancestry comes from the Eastern Band, North Carolina. I am a descendant of the Brown family, and I'm kin to Samuel Davis's family off the Eastern Band as well. And I'm also related to Chief Dragon Canoe.
Dragon?
Dragon canoe.
Really? Now, I didn't think that dragon appears much in Native American. Like
you take the canoe and you kind of drag it.
Oh, dragging.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you meant dragon, as in the eastern dragon. You know, so,
no,
that's interesting. You know, because I don't often hear about, obviously, because it doesn't. It's not in the mythology there. But so it's dragging canoe. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a few bands here and there, and you communicate by the internet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I talk with the Cree Nation, I talk with the Mohawk, I talk with, you know, over in Kanakota, which is the true name for, Canada. It's Kanakota.
Kanakota.
And I also talk with, people from, you know, the Salagi nations, both east and west, and I also talk with Lakota people. I talk with all kinds. I'm also talking right now with the Maori in New Zealand.
Yeah, so I was just going to bring that in because, you know, not only are you talking and presumably you're creating affinities supporting
cultural connection. Understanding.
Yes, and yeah. and mutual support within your own country, but also on other lands as well. As you say, including the Maori. Yes, I remember when the Maori guy came in when we were doing the buffalo talk at Thomas's place, as it were, and that was fascinating to kind of hear that spark between all the nations. And that, this is, I think, one of the most important connections that is happening at the moment are the nations of the world. In what people call indigenous, I often think it's a bit, you know, it's a bit condescending. We'll talk about that in a minute. But for the nations of the world to join together and to have a mutual sharing of your stories, because this is what the whole war is about. It's about the story, isn't it?
Yes, very, very much. I mean, we have what I call a very peaceful movement that got started by four women over in Kanakota.
Yeah,
and actually, it's reaching all over the world. Matter of fact, I'm pushing it where I'm at. As far as I don't know more, and flash mob round dances. The chiefs are speaking out in good way over in Kanakota, and it's already reached New Zealand, Australia, London, England, all over Canada, United States, Australia. It's going everywhere.
Yeah, we were talking a little last night, and this is one of the, I don't know if it's a prophecy, but it's a feeling that I've had, that I've been waiting for certain people to step up.
And I knew it had something to do with
indigenous people, and it had something to do with female, because we're talking about the divine feminine, coming in here and taking dominion. So,
well, with all this, JP, of course, the women are held in high regard in our culture. You know, they clothe you, feed you, give birth, they do everything. And we all come from women, and they do everything the Earth Mother does. So, you know, I bow to the women, and I hold to the clan mothers.
Oh. So this is
Prime Minister Harper has caused a whole lot of problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way I see it with Harper, I mean, he is the what do we call that? The mouthpiece, the strong right arm of the Crown Estate, which is run from London, England. And it's not actually, you know, it's not actually the Queen being in charge. It's the same group. It's the, you know, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. It's the same group. They call themselves the Crown Estate.
Well,
the Crown.
You know, it's like this, JP. The way I look at it, when they first signed the treaty with the Six Nations, it was the Queen. You know.
That's right.
It was the Queen.
That's
now,
right.
As far as the Crown is concerned, we all know that it's not relatively the Queen, but it is the Crown. And Bill C-45, which and the other bills, Prime Minister Harper said, no matter what we do, they're passed, they're going to go anyway. He don't care what we really are talking about. But getting back to what you said, the flash mob round dances and the things that the indigenous people are doing all over, I'm involved in that also. The European people are invited in these things because if you think that it only is going to hurt indigenous people, no, it's going to hurt you too.
Well, this is the old thing, isn't it? When they came for the gypsies, I wasn't a gypsy, so, you know, I let them go. Now they're coming for me, and there's no one to hold me. So this is, you know, this is a very serious junction, because, like you say, these bills, they come up with their false flag events. They come out with a bill that, you know, they say, oh, we just brought this bill out, and this will prevent what's just happened in these events, you know. So they create a 2,000-page gun law bill that just seems to happen. It just seems to materialize out of thin air. Sorry, Charles.
Yeah. You also have to look at the two-row wampum.
Now, okay. I've been introduced with this. I'd like you to explain this for my... certainly for my British audience. I don't know if the American audience have heard about this, but the British audience have never heard about the two row wampum bill. So let's go back and can you describe what the wampum belt is in the first place?
Well, the wampum belt, the way I see it, in that way I've heard of it, it was presented within treaty time to, in other words, finalize the treaty between the European, as far as the Crown, and the Six Nations.
Okay.
It's a understanding between talks, and that wampum belt will finalize these talks between these two people.
Right, but let's go back a bit. The wampum belt, from what I understand, is made of strips of abalone, which is, you know, it's a semi-precious material. It's been worked and carved. And actually, each of those strips is it's a trading issue. It's like it's a form of money. It's an exchange token, or as we call it in everyday words, money. So essentially, it's like a belt that is made from these things woven together as a strip, a bit like an ammunition belt, isn't it?
You can barter with it, yeah.
Yeah, but it represents a little more than just money, doesn't it? It's a representation of trust and
yes, exactly
of mutual respect. Now, So, going back to that, let's talk about the Six Nations, because again, these words, you know, we hear these words, but who were the Six Nations and why did they become, were they the ones that were amenable to the Queen or something like that?
Well, you have to look at this. If you look at the Six Nations in Kanakota, it's kind of like the Iroquois Confederacy. You had the Mohawk, the Anishinaabe, I think, are over there. The Cree, other nations, okay? And what, the Seneca, it's a Iroquois Confederacy. In other words, America, they will say adopted, when truthfully they stole the, and made the Constitution of the United States, which is off the Iroquois Confederacy.
Right.
So Iroquois, you know, Seneca, Mohawk. There's a bunch of them. I just put it that way.
Okay. So that's the Six Nations, and they already had what became adopted as the U.S. Constitution. That was. The Constitution was modeled, you know, the copy and paste job, really, isn't it, as we say nowadays?
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's not written in the Iroquois Constitution, or, you know, as far as that, but it starts off, we the people, America adopted that, and truthfully, in the Constitution of the United States, it says that a black man is only three-quarter human. We didn't have that in the Constitution.
I didn't think so.
Of the Iroquois Confederacy.
Yeah, because at that time, most of these people who were coming over were looking for natural resources.
Of course.
They were people who were looking for mining tin and copper and precious metals and precious stones and meat and all these things that they could bring back to the British Isles as,
and how do I put it?
Yeah, as a symbol of world domination, really.
Well, they actually took a lot of us back over to England to show the Queen that there are two-legged animals over there.
And this is dark and bloody ground. This is Kentuck here, that and this is probably the most shameful thing that the Britons will ever know, is that not only were they taken back as, quote, examples of animals, unquote,
yeah,
awful, but you were slaughtered and fed to British people as a delicacy.
Yeah. Matter of fact, they used to breed dogs to hunt us, because we wasn't, you know, like deer and everything else, and Indian, because we wasn't considered human.
So, let's let that sink in a little bit. That's because that is such, you know, and we can say, oh, well, that was those days, and, you know, this is now, and it's modern, and, you know, we're all friends, but there's still a deep sadness and a deep disquiet about that.
Well, if you want to look at it completely, 149 million, let's put that. Let that number sink in your head for a minute.
Almost uncomprehendable.
149 million people that was killed in this nation, plus Kanakota also. America was built on murder. Genocide, murder. That's what America was built on. Ooh, it sunk quick, didn't it?
It's I mean, it's something that you, again, you know, we're all, oh, yes, the Holocaust and all this stuff, but, you know, the Holocaust was nothing compared with what the Brits had already done, or the Crown had already done to the nations. And they killed the buffalo, you know, in unbelievable quantities. I mean, you see these old photographs, and there's like a mountain of dead creatures.
A mountain of skulls. Matter of fact, within the war between the Indian wars, okay. A lot of times, especially with the Plains Indians, as far as the Oglala Lakota, matter of fact, if anybody from the Oglala Lakota hear this, Taichi Hila Mikolas, I love you, my brother, my friends. If you are going to defeat a people, first thing you would do, okay, is try to divide and conquer, which I understand that's exactly what happened here. But if you kill off the food source, they can't fight long.
That's right. And so... And
the Tatanka, it gave us everything we needed. We used every part of the animal to make our houses, to everything. So, you know, that's how they do it.
I know. And again, this is heartbreaking. This is the true history. This is not the history of like cowboys and Indians and Indians are always portrayed as being angry and wanting to take over the white people, and it's complete lies. It's complete fabrication.
Well, the history book was lies.
Yes. And the history book is written by the Rothschilds.
Let's look at it this way. Columbus discovered America, but he never got here.
What?
He never got to America.
Where did he get to?
I think he got to something like South America, maybe. Mm. But as far as North America, he never got here. Let's look at the pictures in the history book of George Armstrong Custer standing bravely shooting at all the Indians with his flowing blonde hair. Well, he cut his hair before the battle. Nobody still don't know why. He shot off his horse. When he stood up, he shot himself in the head. That was told to me by Lakota people. My understanding through generation to generation down. He killed himself.
Rather than being captured and...
Well, he was an idiot.
Right.
Well, let me say it that way.
Qualify that a bit, yeah.
You're going to take 265 men and you're going to run through 2,500 Indians?
No.
265 versus 2,500. You figure that one out.
So what... What was the story from the other side of this then, Tugog?
Now
Custer's last stand was, you know,
it wasn't Custer's last stand; it was ours. Truthfully, it was our last stand. Times were changing. We had to. It was kill the Indian, save the man here, as far as boarding schools, everything else. residential schools in Canada, where if you spoke your language, you would beat half to death. My great-grandmother was one.
And this was, now, was this in a Crown school, or was this in, like, a Catholic place?
Most of it was Catholic, Jesuit, Mormon, you know, things. In other words, if I was to walk up to you with Osceo, I would get slapped halfway back through the room. Matter of fact, a lot of my language was lost because we stopped. They wouldn't talk it. So, you know, because, hey, don't speak your language. You either speak it or you'll be shot. If you spoke it, if you were shot.
So, destroy the food, destroy the language, and
destroy the culture.
You'll destroy the story. But, and here's this, and this is really what it's about, is the story, that, you know, you guys know truth about the world that we haven't been allowed to know. You know, when I'm talking about we, I mean, the people who have grown up within these cultures. I grew up in London. I grew up in the British culture, although I'm not British. I think I've even got one small drop of native blood because I Canatoga? Did you say Canatoga? Is that right, Red?
Canacota, yeah.
Canacota. My father was from Quebec, you see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was born near Montreal, and he was a French Canadian, and we have family photographs of somebody like my great grandmother who doesn't look French. Doesn't look French. Had a different, a completely different structure, facial structure, and everything like that. So, that's a connection that I might, I'll investigate later. But
let me go one step further.
Yeah, because let's really lay out the facts here.
Number one, with Prime Minister Harper, with this C Bill 45 and other bills that they're coming up with, it takes away from water rights. It assimilates. He's wanting to assimilate every nation in Canada to where, okay, you're not Anishinaabe, you're not Mohawk, you're not Cree, you're Canadian. That ain't gonna march. You know what I mean? That don't work. You assimilate people, you die.
Yeah, well, this is very ancient.
They relocated the Navajo, and that didn't work. You know? Listen, what I'm asking Prime Minister Harper to do is come on my show and debate me, but he ain't gonna do that, but I asked Prime Minister Harper to do only one thing, and that's respect the two world wampum that was done years ago.
Okay, let's go back to the wampum and then and its relationship with the Crown and their minions, i.e. the what's known as the Canadian government. So the Two Row Wampum was representative of a treaty.
Exactly.
And what were the terms of this treaty?
Well, number one, if Canada is going to do anything with the land, he has to sit down with the people, which is the Six Nations, all the leaders, and let them know what he has in store or what he wants to do. He's not doing that.
So he's not honoring the terms of the treaty.
Basically, let's look at it this way. They did a big thing. They had a big thing, okay, when they first got here. And it's a very big word, okay? And the big word is discover. What number one? Number one, it goes like this. You can't discover anything where someone is already at. Now, let's put it this way. When they came to Kanakota over there, this is what I was told. When they went back to tell the queen, okay, what they have found, they said that it was, the land had nobody on it. They told that the land had nobody on it. Yeah, is that a lie or what? From my understanding, that's what was said, that when they discovered Canada, there was nobody in Canada. Nobody.
Now, this again takes us back to the Black's Magic Law Dictionary, where there are words that we think mean one thing and actually mean another. And I believe actually the word discovery means to find out what something is worth and what the assets of a particular. So when you do a company discovery, you're actually researching what they own and the assets and all of these things. And probably there's another definition, some of the listeners here would know that there are probably ways of wording that mean that there's no legal body created in this place. And so it doesn't matter what you know, whether there are people there, but there's no people there because people, in their definition, are straw men. You know, they got the birth certificates and all that. So there might be people, you know, it might be humans walking around, but they're not, according to their view, people.
Well, see, we're not considered human. We were not considered human. Now, whether they were thinking in that aspect, I have no idea.
Probably. Yes.
Now, if you want to talk non-human, really, it was dumb the way they were acting.
It was awful.
And that was constant. But what this movement is doing, see, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but what I want people to understand is, of course, there's a little girl by the name of Naomi Whitecrow that I keep wanting to get justice for. If you want to think it's, it don't happen anymore. You know, we respect Indian people now or whatever, which I understand a lot of people do. I have a lot of white friends, okay? But you have Naomi Whitecrow that was beat to death by her foster mother that I am still working to get justice for. A officer in Seattle gets out of his car and shoots an elder in the back as far as a wood carver. And he just shot him 7 times because he wouldn't turn around because the man was deaf. Shot him. There's still women that have been in Kanakota as far as Canada that still haven't been found yet. Just totally disappear. Oh, come on, guys. You know, I kind of have an idea about that. And, well, you know, I know I've said this before, but, 3-4 weeks ago, there was a 53-year-old Indian man that got killed in my front yard nearly.
Oh, that's far too close. Far too close.
Because here in this town, they wanted to legalize alcohol. So you got this mentally deranged white guy that got drunk, wanted to fight. And it would have been me if I'd have walked the dog before he got here. And they stabbed his Indian to death in my, close to my front yard.
So, first of all, I'm so sorry for you. That this is, you know...
It's a way of life for me.
I know, and you were telling me last night, you know, that it's something that has happened over and over again around you, your people are victimized and murdered, and again, it comes back down to this separation that you're, you know, somehow less than. And it's made by people who have minds that are less than, in my opinion.
Yeah. Matter of fact, last year I lost a warrior in the Appalachians in Kentucky, okay? They killed him. Just killed him. Nothing. He didn't do anything to anybody. Never did do anything to anybody. And now I got a widow in my band. So basically, it happens here on Turtle Island all the time.
So, we're just about the halfway mark here. I'd like to mention to the listening audience that Revolution Radio and War Spirit Radio are listener supported radio stations, and please continue to put a little bit of donation our way. If you can put a couple of dollars a month, then that'll keep everybody going. If everybody puts a little bit in, then we have plenty to keep the whole station afloat. Mike is doing a brilliant job. Dave is doing a brilliant job. So let's keep them running. And also, you have your own radio show, don't you, T-Dog?
Yes, Tracy Kennedy is my producer. She is a Mohawk lady out of and Haitian out of Kanakota. She also does Turtle Island News and Trace Elements. I know you guys know about that. And it's called The Heart Drum, brother. And my show is based for indigenous people all over the world. If you have something you want to get off your chest, or just talk about the culture or whatever, my show is based for that. That's what my show is all about. So we talk with the Maori in New Zealand and First Nations in Canada, and here in America as well, all over the world. Go ahead.
Sorry, Tubog. How do people get to listen to your station, to your show?
If you go to flagshipradio.com, flagshipradio.com, Tracy's shows, as far as Turtle Island News, will be on at 11 o'clock Central, because Central Time is where I'm at. And then my show will be at 3 o'clock Central Time. Turtle Island News and The Heart Drum.
And today
we'll be having a lot of the Maori talking in New Zealand. And then what my show will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock Central to 5 o'clock. 3 to 5 Central Time. Both days. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
On flagshipradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So we'll remind people of that at the end of the hour. But I just wanted to put a couple of station announcements in there and station plugs so people can get themselves prepared. Do you have archives of programs that you've had?
Oh, they play all the time. They play all the time.
Oh, that's marvelous. So, where were we? The two-row wampum belt, the treaties, the dark and bloody land of Kentuck,
yeah.
We're joined here by Charles Two Dog. Let's talk a little bit about the whole name thing. When we first started doing Buffalo Talk with Thomas Hughes on Wolf Spirit, I was having a conversation with you and Gerald Whitehorse Standing, and I discovered that you have a kind of what we'd call an English name, like Charles, and then you have what you'd call an Indian name, but it's, from what I understand, it's more respectful to refer to you directly as Two Dog than as
you call me Charles. You call me Charles, I wouldn't even know who you're talking to. But let me show you I'll show you real quick how this is going to, that works out, all right? Now, my given name is Gili Tali.
So, does that mean two dog?
Yeah.
And is it two dogs or two dog?
It'd be two dogs, but of course, with my name, it's no S on the N. That's how my name is. It's like two spirits, one dog.
Uh huh.
Okay. It's like me. I'm like the old dog on the porch. If I really care about you, I'm real close. I won't let nothing happen to you. But it's kind of like, okay, if they hurt you, I turn around and I become a wolf. In other words, the dog turns into a wolf. So really, that's just one dog, but there's like two spirits inside.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, let me go a little further. Charles Two Dog is my Christian name. Okay? That causes the European way of saying it. There'd be a line of us if we, going to the reservation. There would be an interpreter, okay, standing over to the side. And there'd be like a sergeant or something sitting at a desk with a piece of paper and a pencil. And say, I'm the next one in line and I step up. First thing he would say is name. Well, I wouldn't know what he meant. And he'd say name. Sometimes it would be, oh, come on, you stupid red skin name. Because that's how ignorant they were. And I'd look at the interpreter. The interpreter would tell me to tell my name. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd look back at the sergeant and go, Gili Tali. And the first thing the sergeant would say would be, I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't know how to even write that. Your name is Charles Smith for the rest of your life. You lose who you are. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. You lose your name and you lose your vibration, because your name is your vibration.
Of course.
So even if I were to call you Two Dog, that's that's still not exactly the correct vibration. And it's Gili Tali. So which is Gili? Does that mean two? And Tali, what's dog?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Gili Tali. Now, if I was Lakota, it would be Shunka Numpa, which dog, and then two. It's backwards.
All right, so some languages have the you do it the other way around, like Latin does, you know, like
like French. You does. Take my wife and my daughter. My wife would be in Lakota, would be Taite with Shumpi. My daughter would be Wambly Shukawaka. And as far as Wind Star and Eagle Horse, which really Wambly Shukawakan is Holy Eagle Horse, that's her name. They are going straight. My name would be backwards.
So you'd be Tali Gili, and that would be dog two.
Now Gili Tali is Salagiwe. That's straight. From my understanding of it.
So this is very, I like people to be more aware of really the indoctrination and programming that we've, you know, all the white people, the non-elite white people have been, you know, we've all been fooled. Everybody's been fooled.
Well, one of the things, words. JP, if you look at TV, watch TV and watch how they do. It's a programming that's been done. They have programmed your mind.
That's right. Television programming.
So basically, if you think about it, what I've been doing here lately with a lot of people is I'm deprogramming the program.
That's right.
You were talking earlier about, you know, how much people have got away from things. Within all of nature itself, JP, all the animals upon the planet are still living at the law of one, as far as the four-legged, the winged, fishes, everything. Two-legged are the only animal that has got away from that law. The law of one. We're a part of nature, just as the bug going up to the biggest fish in the sea.
Now, let's see if I can remember and pronounce it exactly right. Mitakuye or Yasin?
Mitako Asi Oesin.
Mitako Asi, which means we're one family.
All related.
We're all related.
We're all related. Mitako Api means my relation. Me is my. But see, this is the situation, is that we're about to lose our language. There's some nations that are just about done. And once you lose your language, you forget who you are. You lose you are.
You lose your story. You lose your vibrations, yes.
Sure. You can't sing the songs or nothing, you know. But, you know, the basic thing right now is this movement. And one of the reasons I wanted to come on here.
Yeah, let's talk about Idle No More. Yep.
Idle No More was started by four great women. And you do have a chief as far as Chief Spence, which I hold great honor for. And going through a hunger strike until she meets with Prime Minister Harper and whoever representatives of the Crown, because the housing's terrible. Where she's from, housing is bad. The water rights, as far as C-45, assimilation of all the First Nations is why I Don't Know More is doing what it's doing. And if between the two-row wampum, between the First Nations and the Crown, my friend, this is not how you treat your allies.
No, not even how you treat your enemies.
No, you don't treat your enemies this way. You don't even treat your enemies this way. And if anybody out there that watches the Sun TV station over in Canada, that's one of the most racist TV shows I have ever seen in my life. Talking about Chief Spence is not doing what she says she's doing, and I know she is. Now, you know, most of the reasons that I Don't Know More is doing what they're doing is these bills that Prime Minister Harper has said is going to pass no matter whether they like it or not. And the missing women that are missing. They're First Nations peoples and American Indian people that are being killed every day. Every day.
And that also includes a lot of children.
Let me show something. There's 700. I am not going to say the nation because I have not been given the permission to. But I will say this. There are 700 children taken from this one nation. 700 a year.
A year.
A year. DHS takes. Grasp that. Grasp that for a second.
I mean,
they have actually took 3 of my grandchildren.
And this is probably, I mean, this is the thing that is the most upsetting because it's children, because there's no way to not answering questions on this. And it's same. There's a big scam coming up in Britain at the moment. The children homes.
Yeah.
It's cut horrendously, right? Latest solution, revelation that former prime minister, his is from like 20, 30 years ago, but as to say not having still day, they would go. He was famous for his yachting. His name was Edward Heath, and he would have the children aboard his boat. And because he was, you know, the Prime Minister, he was famous, people would recognize him. So they would take children from the children's home, and they would abuse them in whatever way, shape, or form, and then he would have them killed and thrown overboard, which is where they never found any of the bones. Unlike what's been happening in Canada, where they've been finding bones under the children's
home.
Yeah. This is going on all over the world, and it's not just 20 years ago, it's happening right now.
They shut down one of the boarding schools here in America, okay? Mm-hmm. And in the pipe system, in the pipes, you know, like from your toilets or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the pipe systems were babies.
Oh, God.
Can you believe that? But that's true. We have elders right now that can't look at their children or their grandchildren and actually say, you know, I love you. because they wasn't shown that. They were taken by the time they were three, and you stayed in that boarding school till you was 18. So culture was lost, language was lost, actually a heart was lost, because when you come out, you were angry, alcoholism, drug addiction, you couldn't love. I seen an elder with the Oglala Lakota, you know, just recently, and his fingers are crooked because the teacher would raise the wooden desk. You know, they had tops where you put your books and stuff in, you know. Then you close the desk. Well, his fingers are crooked because the teacher would raise the desk, put his fingers in the desk, and slam the desk on. Because he said, might have said, wash day, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he said his language, his fingers were crooked for the rest of his life. Of course, he went on to the sky world but the, and if anybody hears this, and you know, I'm not from Kanakota, and I'm not from the Six Nations, but, and I don't, you know, we didn't hold the two-row wampum belt, you know, treaty with Americans here. So if I was wrong about anything, forgive me, but that's how they handled the treaty between the Crown and the Six Nations, was the wampum belt, the two-row wampum.
Yeah, and the, and people can look this up. You can just go to Google and type in two, as in T-W-O, row, R-O-W, mm-hmm. Wampum, which is W-A-M-P-U-M. Is that right?
I think, yes.
Yeah. And you can, you know, it's clearly displayable. You can see it, and it's a beautiful thing. And the idea was that there, you know, the two rows represented two nations walking side by side in sovereignty, yes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, has never happened.
That has never happened in the first place. We're, you know, our singing and our dancing was considered satanistic. Well, number one, it's stated in the white men's holy book, okay, to lift up their instruments to the Creator. What do you think we were doing? And we didn't even have the books. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Yeah,
we didn't even have the book. It's ridiculous.
I know. So we've
but
had
JP,
years
we
of,
were yeah. not.
Go on, you were not.
We were not considered human beings. You take George Washington to Andrew Jackson. They used to skin my ancestors. Kill them, skin them, to make their pants with. The reference, red skin.
Well, it's absolutely horrible.
That's Bruce.
Yeah. It's the truth, and it's an awful truth, and it's like we think these things happened in days gone by. But these things are still happening. They may not be so well publicized, but
Well, let's look at it this way. They found a woman just 30 miles from me that she was found. She was dead, of course, but the thing about it was she was scalped. They sent her body to Texas instead of going to, here in Kentucky. We have a good, you know, they can figure out everything here in Kentucky just as well. They sent her body to Texas. She was scalped. Let's look at again. Oklahoma. Let's look at Oklahoma. There was a young child in Oklahoma that was hung by a dog collar and scalped. And when they found him, found a young boy, which is 4 or 5 years old, he was still alive, thank God. I don't know if he is now or not.
He was two.
Oh, he was two. Excuse me. He was two.
Oh, God.
Welcome to civilization.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, no disrespect to anyone, but brother, if this is civilization, I don't want it.
Yeah, it's the Roman Empire, still the Roman Empire, still run by the Vatican, with the crown agents as their minions, and we're still in the same position. Nothing really has changed. It just has got different front on it, different face.
Just different people.
Yeah.
Different clothes, different people, same thing. Now, like I said, if I disrespected anybody on any form, I apologize. Please forgive me. But the main thing is, if you want to look at what is actually happening in this continent on Turtle Island right now, I want you to look at this peaceful movement that these ladies have gotten started. Just type in I don't know more, and then you can see what we are doing. And if you think genocide is wrong, murder is wrong, raping the earth is wrong, then I ask you to help the Six Nations right now.
And what can people do, you know, elsewhere?
If you have any, if you see if these flash mob round dances are starting, or protests that are happening all over Turtle Island, if you see any of them, we don't care if you're black, white, yellow, red, Metako Api, we don't care. Because what happens to Indian people is going to happen to you. As far as people here in America, black, white, yellow, red, you're already on the reservation, whether you're on the reservations or not. America's one big reservation.
You know what gets me?
But that's how we have to do these things.
You get black, hold on. You get black people some black people that will, you know, make jokes and talk smack about the shit that's happening to us, and they forget they come from the same place.
Oh. Did you hear that?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Winstar. You know, we're already on the reservation, whether you're on the res. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, if you're poor, black, white, yellow, red, welcome to the reservation. Now, but what I'm saying is if you see these flash mob brown dances, okay, you see them going on, join it. Join it.
Hold hands with your brothers and sisters.
Hold hands with your brothers and sisters of all races, and dance with us. There's nothing wrong with it. Dance with us. Because we are all related, my brothers and sisters that are hearing my voice. We are all related. So dance with us, JP.
Thank you very much. Gili Tali. Two dog.
In my own language, ski for having me. And Ostada, very good that I'm with you.
It's been a wonderful time talking to you. It's been some, we've been down some dark holes, but we're still holding hands. And bless your hearts and Windstar and your beautiful daughter there. I see you on your profile pic there. You are on Flagship Radio. Time and when and what days?
Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Heart Drum, 3 to 5 Central Time. Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, so I think that's probably 2 to 5 Central Time. We're probably running at the same time as you, but people can tune in on Thursdays and on Tuesdays, 3 to 5 Central Time. And that's at flagshipradio.com. There's a chat room there, and you appear there. And
there's a chat room there. And Tracy Kennedy is on with Turtle Island News, actually, now.
Yeah.
But going from Monday through Friday. And Trace Elements at, five Central Time. On Friday, yeah. As far as Space Elements are concerned.
That's right. So, thank you so much for coming on the show. I don't know if anybody's realized, but this is pre-recorded. It's Tuesday afternoon just now here in Britain, and I'll be playing this, I'll have just played this. This is so complicated with time. Anyway, so this was a pre-recorded show for Journeys with JP, featuring Charles Two Dog, Gilly Tally, and bless your hearts, and thank you very much.
To the world, one more time, Wakantanka Kichi'un, in the words of Lakota, Wakantanka Kichi'un. May God bless.
Wakantanka Kichi'un. Thank you very much.